with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Haven't heard from Jim. I'm going to assume he is still out. I know he missed the last couple of days of the week last week. Shot him a text and haven't heard back from him. So I'm going to assume that he's out. So we're just going to be us today.
Still under the weather?
Yeah, I think so. But hopefully, you know, maybe he just doesn't wake up till about 9:15 or so. And then he'll shoot me a text and say, yeah, I'm in.
Well, so, you don't have to work till 2, so.
we can always run an audible on what we've got on the rundown. We'll hit high school basketball last. No offense to the high school basketball, but nobody's tuning in to hear about that after what we saw over the weekend on the NFL football field. The gridiron, that'll be the middle of the show. Here's the way I've got it laid out. If Jim's not with us, we'll talk about the high school basketball at the end. We'll have the other three games in the middle segment. But off the top of the show, it's got to be Chiefs versus Bills. An all-timer of a basketball or of a football game last night. Just absolutely nuts.
We all knew that game was going to be awesome, but not that awesome.
Man, I was. Look, we'll get to it okay. Because I couldn't wait for it. You know, it was the last one. It was like the carrot dangling out there
going
into the weekend. Like, this is going to be the heavyweight battle. And then when the other three games happened the way they did, I thought, dang, there's no way this can live up to its hype plus the hype of the other three games that have already happened. Man, this stinks. Somebody's going to – wrong.
Rams and Bucks were like at the end of that game, oh, yeah, we just gave you the game of the year. And then the Chiefs and the Bills said, hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my beer. This is the best game that's ever been played in the NFL. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things and whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon app. The app has all three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Everything you could possibly need that we supply is right there on the Paragon Communications app. Also have the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and catch us there. All right, so where do we start as far as Chiefs-Bills? Like I said, I mean, I was set up to be disappointed after the way that the Rams-Bucks game ended. And then, of course, the two on Saturday. Heck, even after Saturday, you know, to me it was kind of like the JV games were Saturday and the varsity games were Sunday, because those were the two you really thought were going to be the good ones, was Rams-Bucks and then obviously Chiefs-Bills. And then the JV squads went out. And they were great. Those games were really good. And it's funny because it seems like it kind of built. Tennessee-Cincy was a good one. Not great played, but close throughout. Then you got
dramatic finish.
Yeah, it was really
turnover.
Absolutely. Yeah, drama at the end, but it wasn't a really well-played game.
Yeah.
Then you get to Green Bay and San Francisco. It's just a slobber knocker that you thought it was going to be if San Francisco had any chance. Had to be low scoring, had to be defense oriented. You know, the Green Bay got the ball first, went right down the field. You're like, uh-oh, this is bad shape. And then San Francisco's hung in there. And so that game finished with another field goal by the road team to win. So Saturday was like, that's all you could possibly ask for out of those two games. Then Sunday starts, and you're like, I mean, I think I even sent you all that text, like, okay, we're watching it. It's happening. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's getting old in front of our eyes. Finally, it's happening. And then the Rams try to pull one of the most epic choke jobs of all time. And Brady wouldn't take it. And I kept thinking, man, if this was 4 years ago, Tampa's already ahead with the mistakes that the Rams are making. I'm like, man, he just doesn't have it. And then next thing you know, There he was, throwing the long pass to Evans. And at that point, now I didn't know that Akers was going to fumble again. But even as soon as it was a seven-point game, didn't you have the feeling of Brady's going to get another chance? Like the Rams are gone to such a shell that Brady's going to get another chance.
Right.
And instead of, you know, marching it down the field, he got to from the 30, and that was pretty simple. But then, you know, that game wasn't the great – it was sloppy. There was, Rams had four turnovers. I mean, it just wasn't. And then we got to last night. My gosh. I mean, the level of play on that field last night in Arrowhead was off the charts. And it's going to be easy to be caught up in the prisoner of the moment type stuff with the greatest game ever. But listen, it is up there. There is no doubt that it because of the level of play that was going on back and forth. And that was before we got to the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a game before the end happened.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, just fireworks explode. Throughout the end of the, you know, after the 2-minute warning, I mean, there's all these stats that are out there, just incredible stats between the two quarterbacks. But, man, I mean, it was a great game throughout, and then the end just was the icing on the cake. And it's up there as absolutely one of the best games in the history of the National Football League.
That's a whole nother discussion with the best game. I keep going back to that Kansas City, Los Angeles Rams game. What was that, 18?
Oh, in the regular season, yeah.
That game was crazy, but it was like Texas Tech, OU, what was that, 16? You know, just score here, just trading scores, crazy off-the-chart numbers. But that game, because it was a playoff game and how it ended, the last 2 minutes, shoot, the last 60 seconds, minute 13 was it? There's how many lead changes in a minute 13?
I think there was
– was that where it kind of – I mean, it was like – I was like, all right, the Bills are going to win. Oh, now Kansas City. Oh, now the Bills. I was getting dizzy. But that was
Let me find
insane.
That number.
And you know, we involved in group text, and I think, you know, we keep discussing the new breed, the new generation of quarterbacks. You know, is that the Brady versus Manning? Is it going to be Mahomes versus out? You see what I'm saying? Is that it? I mean, we're going to see. Is that just the start of it? Because potentially.
It sure seems like it.
It feels like these guys are going to collide deep in the playoffs year in, year out, and we have the potential to get games like this.
And see the advantage and the
By
reason.
By the way, I'll call it right now. That Chiefs versus Bills will kick off the 2022 NFL season.
Right there in Arrowhead.
On a Thursday night. Yeah.
It's back at Arrowhead this year. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Depending on what the Super Bowl is and what the teams look like, there could be a difference there with Chiefs, maybe Rams-ish. But I know what you're saying for sure.
Yeah.
The components are there because here's the thing. They're both in the same conference. So that means they're both, if they win the divisions, they're going to get to play each other in the regular season every year, like we saw Manning and Brady get to do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, but it has to have last night type of games to get it there. And what I mean that is those playoff games. Those, you know, you think back with Manning and Brady, the great, great games – were regular season. A lot of times the playoff games weren't that great. You know, the one memorable one as far as really competitive and coming down to the end there was the AFC title game that Peyton finally won before they beat the Bears for the first Super Bowl. That was an incredible game. But a lot of times it felt like in the playoffs it was either early on it was Brady and that defense dominating the Colts. And even further down the line there, when Peyton got to Denver, it felt like Denver whipped up on the Patriots a time or two. You know, there wasn't a ton of great games. Now, in the regular season, there was all kinds of them. You know, it just but that all of it together and the all-time greatness of those two quarterbacks obviously helped build that rivalry to where it is. This one, but here's the thing, Jared, and I texted you all this last night. These two obviously are at the top of the game. But you've also got Burrow. You've also got Herbert. Maybe Trevor Lawrence. You know, the AFC, to me right now, the old guys are on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
With Brady, with Rodgers, with even kind of Russell Wilson feels like he's older, getting toward the end. Who's the young guys in the NFC? Dak? Really?
I mean, he...
It took him longer to quarterback sneak it than it took Mahomes to go 44 yards for a field goal.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
But those four guys, it looks like set up to just be tremendous theater for years and years to come.
Yeah.
And of course, Allen and Mahomes at the top of that list. Let me ask you this. And we'll get into the numbers, because I've got tons of them written down about just like the greatness of what happened. What could the Bills have done differently to change outside of like some sort of defensive scheme? I've got two things in my mind, but to you, after they score the touchdown up with 13 seconds left, what would you have done different to try to seal that game?
With when they went ahead with how many? How much time was
13?
13 seconds left. I saw this floated out there, and I thought that makes a lot of sense. I would have committed a penalty. You seen this?
A defensive holding penalty can't be an interference, because then they get the ball down there. Just tackle everybody at the line of scrimmage. That's not a bad. I saw that too. I didn't think about that at the time. There was one thing that I was just screaming at the TV. They can't kick it in the end zone. The kickoff cannot go in the end zone. It's got. And I'm not. Let me ask you this though. Here. I know in college, if you kick it short of the goal line, you can call fair catch and get it at the 25. Is that? I don't think that's the rule in the NFL. If it is, then everything I just said is wrong. But you don't see it happen in the NFL like you do in college.
See him call fair catch and
if it's short of the goal line, they run it out.
They do.
Now I don't know if that's just because they're ready to go.
One side kick.
Yeah, I mean just or a squib kick. It's you've got to waste. Yeah,
you got to make that
you've
clock.
You've got to
run.
Waste a few seconds.
On the
kickoff. Yep. Because that's the only time you control the clock.
Right.
As Buffalo, you have to make them waste some time. You just have to. Number two, how about this? Now, you look like an idiot if it works the way it works last night and you lose. But do you put any thought into going for two, and then that way a field goal can't tie you? They have to score a touchdown in 13 seconds. Because you're not thinking they're going to get a field goal anyway, you look like an idiot.
You look like a bum if you don't get it.
Right.
And then, you know, it is what it is. So,
But don't you have to, you know, everybody had to rethink as the
strategy.
Opponent of Brady. You had to rethink what was out there because he was so good at the end of games.
Yeah.
Listen, Mahomes is right. Mahomes is on that same, you know, level. He hadn't done it as many times, but he's just as scary. You kind of have to rethink strategy. You know, if you're the Bills, you almost wish that Davis would have dropped that touchdown pass and then got it the next play, just because there's less time. You know what I mean? Obviously, at that point in the game, you can't do that. But you have to. To me, you're going to have to start rethinking strategy against these guys, because they're just. And here's another thing: the kickers are so automatic from like 55 in. You know what I mean?
We say that, but when now it seems like every time, for instance, when Tampa Bay tied it up, okay, that whole stadium went quiet for the extra point. Because how many times have we seen a?
Well, that's another. That's another reason to go
extra
for two.
Point, like a what? Yeah, I mean the NFL is dangling the carrot when they change these rules. Where if you go for one or if you kick one, we push it back. If you go for two, push it closer. So they're dangling that carrot to set up all these strategies, and it's great for us because we can just talk about the what if, or they should have done this, they should have done that. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I don't know why it stands out to me. Why wasn't Tyreek Hill flagged for the peace sign?
There's literally a video that just popped up on my Twitter feed, and it said if you're going to be consistent, that should have been taunting. It should have been. But nobody's going to throw that flag at that point. But that's just to me, that's the point of how stupid that penalty is.
Yeah.
If you're not going to throw it then,
don't throw it.
Never throw it.
Don't throw it.
It's just not something that should be thrown. The game itself, you know, all those scenarios I was just talking about, You know, you, if you're the Bills, you cannot let that happen. There's 13 seconds. I know they got the timeouts, but all you have to do is, like, literally force one incompletion in the game. They don't have enough time to kick at least that field goal. If and listen, if he makes one from 60 in that cold like that, then you tip your cap.
Bravo.
But giving up a 48-yard field goal with 13 seconds left is – it makes the next discussion we're going to have me hard to feel sorry for the Bills. And that next discussion is this. All you're seeing right now is people irate with overtime and the overtime rules and how unfair it is that Josh Allen didn't get the ball, all of that. Well, listen, Josh Allen got the ball, and he went down and scored a touchdown. Listen, the game isn't just an offensive game.
Yeah.
Okay, there's three sides of every football, if to quote Tebow. There's offense, defense, and special teams. The Bills' offense did their job. The Bills' special teams and defense didn't. It's the number one defense in the league. Can they not keep Kansas City in 13 seconds from kicking a field goal? Or here's a novel idea, give up a field goal in overtime. That gets your quarterback the ball back.
Right.
So, I mean, there's 60 minutes worth of plays. And I understand the argument, oh, well, then it comes down to a coin toss. No, it doesn't. It already came down to you having a 91% chance to win the game with 13 seconds left, and you blew it. At that point, okay. Well, it just whatever happens, happens. And you still – it's not like Mahomes, as soon as they got – they didn't just walk off the field when Josh Allen called tails and it was heads. They still had to play. The Bills' defense still had a chance to stop them. But I understand the other side of it. But I don't feel sorry for it because you had 60 minutes to change that. And especially last night's game. Josh Allen, you know, too bad. The defense, step up and make a play.
You're right.
So you're on that side of it.
You have to stop. It is – you don't blame the rules because your defense didn't stop them. I'm with you 100%.
You know what's interesting and ironic? The last time this really came up was in 2019 when the Chiefs were on the exact other end of this spectrum going to overtime against the Patriots, and Mahomes never touched the ball in overtime.
Right.
As Brady let him down for a touchdown to win the game. You know, in that offseason, who tried to get the NFL to change the rules and nobody would listen? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Of course.
And no one would listen to them. The rule stays the same, and then they benefit from it last night.
Funny how that works.
It really kind of is. I mean, that game had everything. It had Stephon Diggs tackling a fan before the touchdown at the end. Thank goodness that wasn't Dakota. I was afraid it might be.
That didn't look like him.
Oh, man. It just – you.
How lucky is that guy to go to that game? Too bad they don't print ticket stubs anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. He could give that to us and we can hang it in here in this room. Was that the best quarterbacked game ever?
Hard to say. It's hard for me to say yes on that one.
Well, here's some things that might sway you.
I keep going back to the guys we mentioned. When I talk about, you know, what's between their ears and how they run an offense. And I mean, was it one of the best games ever? Sure. Best quarterback games. I mean, there's probably some game out there where a quarterback played better, but it was a regular season.
But was it both?
But we didn't. Oh, you mean both?
I'm talking about it quarterbacked, both sides.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, listen, we could debate who played better in that game, Allen or Mahomes.
I could take all day.
That's right. But as a duo.
Well, what do you got?
As a duo here, okay. It's the only playoff game in the last 10 years where both starting quarterbacks ended up with a QBR in the 90s. Mahomes was 96.3, Allen was 90.3. I assume the difference there is Mahomes did it later in the game in overtime, and Allen just didn't get that bump. It's the first playoff game ever where each quarterback threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. It's the first playoff game ever where both quarterbacks completed at least 70% of their passes. It's the first playoff game ever where both quarterbacks led their team in rushing. And oh, by the way, to top it off, no turnovers in the game.
That'll be hard to find something better than that.
I mean, it really is. And,
Between both quarterbacks. On the field, yeah.
And I was telling Sean this earlier. How weird, after seeing what happened in the last 4 minutes of that game, how weird was it for the first play of overtime for Mahomes to turn around and hand it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire? It's like they play. It's like a totally different game broke out all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah,
because of just the fireworks going up and down the field and the clutch plays. You know, the first go ahead touchdown. The Bills have had 4 go ahead touchdowns in the fourth quarter or overtime of playoff games in their history. Allen had 2 of them last night. Think about that. He hit the first one on 4th and 13, where Davis made the guy fall down. Then Hill hits the giant play. When the peace sign that you're talking about. Yeah. And then Allen goes right back down the field and does it again. Think of all that had to happen in that game to even give Mahomes the chance at the 13-second thing.
Crazy.
There's going to be lists. There's going to be lists of what are the best games ever coming out of this. You know there will be. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to, like I said, to get caught up, prisoner in the moment type of stuff. But when you talk about, obviously it was exciting. Obviously it was down to the wire. But also just the level of play, offensively especially, down the stretch, and quarterbacking down the stretch of that game. It's hard to imagine. It's hard for me to think of a better game just because not only was it close and exciting and all that, but the level of play was off the charts. You know, it just was so good. It wasn't one of those where somebody, like I said, there wasn't a mistake. The only mistake that was made entire night was Josh Allen said tails instead of heads. That was like the only mistake of the entire night.
Can we bash the defenses, though? See what I'm saying? There's no mistakes because they didn't force turnovers.
I mean, I guess you can. But I think when you get – there's a certain level. Like, you know, you always – at the end of NBA games, a great shot beats great defense every single time because the guy just makes it.
Right.
I almost felt like it was that last night. There was – I don't care who the defense was from all time. They weren't stopping that. Those guys were just in such a zone and able to manipulate. And even when the defense would cause some havoc in the backfield – they would just move around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the defense would do their job. They'd just move around and make a play anyway. I mean, the one fourth down run where on the first game-tying drive or game-go-ahead drive for Allen, when he rolled to the near side and ran right through, you know, those are just plays that the defense stopped him, and he was too good.
Yeah.
And we saw that from Mahomes. How many times did it feel like Ed Oliver is about to rip his head off? And he would duck down, for like feeling from behind, duck down and get out of there and either run or make a throw or whatever it was. I just think the defenses were just at the mercy of all-time quarterback play in a game.
Yep.
And the weapons and all that. I think, sure, we can bash them a little bit, but I think the credit goes to the other side more than the negative.
There's
to them,
gonna
if that
be
makes sense.
Your old-school defensive-minded fans out there are just going to say, ah, it should have been. There should have been better defense played. You know, some of us like the 10-7 games at the end. You know what I mean? Kind of like what we saw in Tennessee.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Yeah,
the same way.
Yeah, but you know, the new age football fan likes the points, likes the scoreboard to be lit up. So, but that's another debate. As far as you're gonna see those lists of the all time great games. I mean, I've been racking my brain. You know, that one from 18 came up in my head. There's – what was the one – I was just hearing Al talk about it a couple weeks ago. He was actually at
– oh, you're talking about the Giants-Colts.
Yeah.
NFL title. It was before the Super Bowl. It was
right.
Back when they're – yeah, it was like 1958. Yeah. A lot of people say it's the greatest game ever.
Right. Well, what sucks about that game last night is that now the expectations going forward are – you're like, oh, well, that's all well and good. Nice Super Bowl and all. Hey, Eminem performed the halftime show, but the game sucked because it wasn't like it was in the divisional round.
The only negative, that's the only negative of that game last night as far as its hierarchy in the history of the NFL,
it
was a division game.
Yeah. You would have wanted that one to be AFC champ.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it can't be the Super Bowl,
and
obviously.
We felt like that game should have been the AFC champ, right? Yeah. I mean, we felt like those were the two best teams in the AFC going in. At least I did. No offense, Cincinnati. Yeah. But at least I did.
Oh, yeah. The way that they ended, you could tell the Bills got on a roll. I mean, they both kind of slow started, but then toward the end of the season, going into that,
yeah.
I think if they'd have been on opposite sides of the bracket, everybody and their dog picks Chiefs Bills as the AFC title game going in for sure.
Yeah.
On my personal text line, a couple of guys talking about how fast and how much he changes the game. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a huge – what happened the drive before is a huge part of what happened with 13 seconds left. Because you're just scared to death of that guy getting any type of space. And even on the first play of that drive, when he caught it and you could see the blockers out in front, I thought, uh-oh, look out. And then the design was to get a certain amount of yards, basically fall down and have another play.
You know, the speed is obviously the most impressive thing about Tyreek Hill, but I saw more than once last night his ability to break a tackle. And then when that happens, look out, sweetheart. It's almost off to the races, right? And he he's not a huge guy. I mean, you know what I mean? He's not a tall guy, but he's fast and he's strong. But the way he can break tackles, they just slip off of him.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost, dare I say, Sanders-esque.
He's built. He's not a big guy, but his lower body is strong.
Right.
Bowling ballish, but he's not that squat. You know what I mean? But he can fly, and it's always such a it's top of mind every snap. If you're the defense. Because nobody can catch it. I mean, it's not like, okay, well, you know, it's a 30-yard gain, then we'll track him down. Uh-uh. It's over.
Yeah.
I mean, there for a little bit, the biggest play in the game, and I'm not even kidding about this, because it kept it a one-score game, was the punter tackling him on that punt return. I can't believe that happened. I mean, as soon as he broke through at about the 40, I was like, peace. I had the peace sign up. And the punter tackled him. I thought, whoa. And then, of course, they stop and force a field goal, and it's just a 5-point game instead of getting it out to 10 or 9. It's like, wow, what a play by the punter.
Yeah.
Like, it's with everything that's going on, of course, this is before the fireworks at the end, but I thought with everything that's going on and the level of play in this game, is a punter really going to make the play of the game to allow the Bills to be able to take the lead with it? And they did. It was just, I thought, wow, no way. That's not going to be what really wins this game, is it?
Last note about that game. Remember what I said? It could start the next season on a Thursday night with fireworks and concerts and everything. Buffalo is slated to go to Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, they play. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's at Kansas City.
Yeah.
100%. Because they're division winners.
Also, the Rams do too.
There you go. See, that's the game, I think, if the Rams are able to beat San Francisco, which they haven't 6 straight times, that's the game I think will start it, because you want to hide that Kansas City Buffalo game is built for Sunday Night Football.
Oh, it's a prime time.
Sometime in the season, it's built for Sunday Night, right in the middle, to where then you can have the hype of, oh, this was the great game, and then the, oh, looking forward to the playoffs, hopefully we get this again type thing, instead of starting the season.
Yeah.
But man, all right, the rest of the games. Let's just go in order, I guess, chronologically. With Cincinnati and Tennessee, I didn't see a lick of this when I was down in Altus with the basketball for Elk City. Following the score along, it was a close game. Can someone explain to me what Mike Vrabel's doing in the first quarter? Or I guess it was actually the second quarter, going for two when you could take the lead 7-6. What did he do that for? Do we know?
I don't know. I never heard.
I mean, what good does it do to beat up two instead of one? I don't get that. And it turns out that point was the difference between winning and going to overtime. Did that one go to overtime? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. The only the other one went. But anyhow, I'm one of the biggest proponents of going for two when the math works. Like the Bucks yesterday, down 14. Should have went for two when they scored that, when the long touchdown. I've done the numbers on the show two or three different times about being down 14 with under 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and going for two. That your win percentage goes up immensely from there. And then what does Stafford do? Down one instead of tied, right? I mean, yeah. when you know you've got overtime in your back pocket, what's the pressure like on that guy that's never really performed
when,
in it?
When Tampa Bay tied it, and like I said, the stadium went quiet, and I thought I initially said, "Whoa, are they going for two?" Because I thought there was that murmur of, "Oh my goodness, they're going to go for the win." But no, but yeah, I was thinking, why not go for two?
Yeah, I just got this text from two different people. He took points off the board. Vrabel.
Yeah.
So they made the extra point and then are roughing the kicker.
Right.
And so then they moved it up to the two or the one or whatever and tried to run it in. Oh, my gosh. That's even worse than I thought. Man, if I'm a Titan fan, I mean, heck, I'm a Cowboy fan. Dak Prescott is way better than Tannehill. But he ain't good enough after watching last night. You know what I mean? It's like, golly, how far away is Prescott from being these guys? And if I'm Tennessee, I've got everything else but a quarterback. Tannehill threw as many interceptions as the other three combined this weekend with his three.
Yeah.
That's just – it's an obvious wait, and they paid him all that money. If I'm Tennessee, I'm looking at a different option.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, top of mind in my mind, to try to keep that Super Bowl window open, because I'm afraid, and we've seen it with Tannehill in the playoffs a couple of years in a row now, he ain't the guy.
No, but who is? I mean, you're right. There's a whole – they feel like they're L.A. of last year, Rams, right?
Exactly. I could not agree more.
They got to find – now, who is the guy? Who could they trade for? You know, it's not as strong – we've talked about the draft a little. It's not a strong quarterback draft this year where – your future is in the draft right now. I don't know. Could it be in a couple years with a, you know, are they willing to ride Tannehill that long until Caleb Williams is available or anybody else that might creep to the top? I don't know. So who is the guy that they could trade for? Who would take that trade?
See, because of what you said with the draft, I think it's got to be Russell Wilson or maybe Rodgers, but I don't know if Rodgers goes there. But I think Russell Wilson should be their target.
I think Rodgers would like Nashville.
Yeah, maybe so.
You see what I'm saying?
I think they're actually in a pretty good spot here because there's not a young guy. This team doesn't need a young guy. This team needs a ready-built, like you said, with Stafford going to the Rams. That's what they need right now. They got a pretty good quarterback, but he ain't good enough. And they have to make that upgrade to not close the window on what they got built around him right now. Because they look like a Super Bowl team, except for the guy at quarterback. Now, on the other side of the field, it's a little different. Because you're talking about one of the young studs at the quarterback spot in the league with Joe Burrow. I mean, that guy, both of us were skeptical coming out of college just because of the one season, right? What did he do the year before? Wasn't that great? And then all of a sudden when he's got all this just otherworldly offensive talent that last year at LSU, they go nuts and they beat everybody's brains in. But which Joe Burrow was it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out it's this one. And I get it, he's got Chase and T. Higgins, but Burrow looks like one of those guys. Josh Allen and Mahomes are obviously these guys. Even, you know, they've got weapons, but they're the guys that make the other guys around him better. T. Higgins isn't T. Higgins on a different team. T. Higgins is T. Higgins because Burrow's throwing him the football. You know, and that's, to me, that's the where you find out who really is the stars of stars at the quarterback spot. We come in here last Monday going, why can't Dak get the ball to CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper? See, these guys, we're not talking about that with the really good ones because they do it. No matter who it is, they don't even need those high-level talents. They can do it with Wes Welker and, you know, how Brady did it all those years. Danny Amendola or, you know, Julian
right.
Edelman. You know, those he made their name, not the other way around. And it feels to me like Burrow is one of those guys that can do that as well. He's going to make T. Higgins his name as opposed to T. Higgins making Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Green Bay, is that the last time we see Rodgers?
I was saying that to my wife as he walked down the tunnel. I said, that might be the last time we see him in a Packer uniform, and I had to explain to her why. So I said it then, and I think so. I think he's done everything. He's given Green Bay a lot, but I think the offseason stuff last offseason, obviously very telling. And I think it's a hats off to him for being, I mean, still in the conversation as MVP. He could have mailed it in this season, but I think that's it. And I think Green Bay I think there's going to be a mutual agreement in the offseason to part ways.
Is Aaron Rodgers overrated?
I don't know. I don't. No. No. I don't think so. You think he is?
In the context of people thinking that he's a better quarterback all time than Brady, hell yes. He's not even. Well, there's a lot of people think he's better than Brady.
Oh, I don't.
Physically, now he doesn't have the rings to show it, but you can find a bunch of people that'll tell you that, and that conversation's ridiculous.
Like right now, better.
I'm talking about like just all time, is like, a more talented, better quarterback than Brady.
Right. I don't know.
He can make
that.
All the throws. He can do all the stuff. I mean,
is he a
physically.
Future Hall of Famer? Yes. Is he one of the top five quarterbacks in the league? I'd put him on that list. Sure.
Ever?
Ever? No. Currently playing.
Oh well, sure.
Yeah. Shoot, maybe top three, but I wouldn't label him overrated. No.
Boy, I would.
You would?
If you're supposed to be that all-time great, you can't choke in the playoffs like he has. One Super Bowl. Think about this, Green Bay fan. You've had two of the top 10 to 15 quarterbacks of all time for almost 30 years. If you go from Favre to Rodgers, starting in, what, 92? So 30 years worth of all-time quarterback play, and you won it twice. To me, that's underachieving. Aaron Rodgers played in one Super Bowl. How? How is that possible?
That is.
How is that possible? Yeah. He's only played in one Super Bowl.
Feels like he has been in more, doesn't it? But yeah, it's only been one.
One.
So one in Dallas, wasn't it?
Yes, when they beat the Steelers.
From the text line, Rodgers better than Marino. I read that and I thought it said Super Mario because he does the Mario thing.
No.
I don't know why I read it like that.
They're very similar players as far as their all-time ranking in the Pantheon. The only difference is Rodgers does have a ring and Danny doesn't. I mean, he played for one, got beat by Montana. But I just – Is he one of the most physically gifted guys ever? Sure. He could make all the throws and move and all of that. He could do it all. But I think he's overrated. In the context of are we, you know, people, I'm sure if you ask 100 random NFL fans, who would you take, Rodgers or Troy Aikman? A vast majority are going to say Rodgers. And that's fine. They can have him. I'll have Aikman on my side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we get to the last one. Rams-Bucks.
I'll be honest with you. I stopped paying attention at 27-3. I'll be completely honest with you. And then my phone started to blow up. And then buddy Mike called me. Said, dude, get to a TV. I said, yeah, I got to go pick up groceries. I'm going to wash my truck. This game's a dud. I said, dude, get to a TV. I said, fine, turn it on there, and then I saw the final of it. Crazy.
Man, I kept with it just because it was Brady on the other side.
You know, that was the thing.
But it never was materializing. He had chance on a couple of turnovers. It just wasn't happening. You know, they got the field goal, which I couldn't believe they kicked the field goal. Looking back, it turned out to be the right choice. But, I mean, you made a three-score game.
Take the points, yeah.
But it was still a three-score. I mean, yeah. you didn't I know. Change possession, I right? Know. But they – At the same time, it was like 4th and 11, so chip shot field goal. Okay, that's fine. But then here he came, and it took longer than it used to. I mean, heck, used to, he'd have won that game with a touchdown at the end, you know, instead of just tying it. But he's just incredible. And that's him and Mahomes at the end there. They have that same – they give you the same feeling if you're just watching the game and don't care who wins, or even if you're on the other side trying to figure out how to beat them. Just fear of God in your heart, because you know if he gets a chance, give him one more chance and he'll do it. Whatever it is, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And they did, but I give Matthew Stafford all the credit in the world. Because here's the truth. The Rams were about to pull off an all-time choke job, and he had nothing to do with it, man. He did not have a thing to do with it.
Yeah.
It was everybody around him melting down. Cooper Kupp even fumbled. Akers fumbles twice. You know what I mean? And the center snaps it when he wasn't even looking. You know, Matthew Stafford had nothing. It was going to be an incredible conversation today, because he was going to be the quarterback of a team that blew a 27-3 lead, and it wasn't going to be even a modicum of his fault.
Which isn't that ironic, because
it's him.
We just talked about all the pieces were there in L.A. They needed the quarterback, and they go and get him. Then all those pieces are crumbling around him.
And guess what?
But it was him that kept it
exactly
together.
Exactly right.
Him and Cooper Kupp.
That the way that game went and ended proves the Rams right in that offseason trade beyond any shadow of a doubt. Because, no offense to Jared Goff, he don't get that done yesterday. He doesn't. Matthew Stafford did. After everything that happened, Matthew Stafford got it done.
Yep.
With 40 seconds left after getting sacked on the first play. Kudos to McVay. And I think because it was Brady on the other side, and because of the way that game went in the fourth quarter, heck, after they got the 27-3 lead, I think McVay in the back of his mind was thinking, we're going down firing because I'm not letting a coin flip decide it. I can't let Brady get the ball again.
Yeah.
This has to be on our terms, and if we mess it up, we mess it up. We've already messed this up. So kudos to him for allowing Stafford the opportunity after the first play didn't go well and they had to burn their last time out, giving him the opportunity to make those plays that he did. And he did. Drew on the text line, how did they let Kupp that wide open? They blitzed. It's Todd Bowles, man. Todd Bowles knows one thing and one thing over only, pressure. It don't matter when the game is. And part of me respects the hell out of that, because you know what they weren't doing? Sitting back in the dadgum prevent, just letting the Rams throw 15 yarders to the sideline. At least they made them make a play. Problem was, you had the best receiver in the league streaking down the field one-on-one with the safety. So, you know, but they made the play. And Matthew Stafford, he was in obscurity for all those years at Detroit. And he never got to do it in the playoffs. But you know what? If you go back and look at what he did in Detroit, he did this a ton in regular season games. All you got to do is be a Cowboys fan. And every time they played Detroit, it felt like he was making a drive at the end of the game to beat the Cowboys in the regular season game, when Detroit was winning four games a year. And it was always the one that kept the Cowboys out of the playoffs because they couldn't guard, couldn't cover Calvin Johnson and Stafford, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he did this more than people realize. And you got to be, you know, it's a pretty cool story to me that he's the guy with the reputation he had coming from Detroit of not being able to win a playoff game and all that kind of stuff, where he is the one that keeps the Rams from just disintegrating right there in front of our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we'll have all week to look ahead, but how do you feel about the upcoming games? Upsets diminish?
You said it earlier. You said it earlier, and I have it written down right here on the paper. It's going to be such a letdown.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just going to be a letdown. No offense to Jimmy G, but come on.
Do we give any shot to
shot just because San Francisco has dominated the Rams 6 in a row. They've swept them 3 years in a row.
Yeah, they're feeling good.
I mean, they have dominated the Rams. But beating a team three times in their home stadium when the chips are really, really down. I mean, you're taking Jimmy G over Stafford. And then the Bengals, are the Bengals really ready for that? Really ready for prime time? I have a feeling that this weekend, which is normally the best weekend of football, the conference championship round, ain't going to be it. Yeah.
To argue for Cincy, obviously they beat them last time they played, two, 3 weeks ago. And so there's that. There's that for confidence. And two, Kansas City played arguably the greatest NFL game ever. Could they come in a little, you know, like, whoa. Now, okay, we just won this greatest game ever. And, oh, by the way, we got to win two more, starting with this upstart Cincinnati team that just whipped our tails a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
there's that, but
there is.
It is an Arrowhead. They'll be just as crazy as they were last night.
Did you hear what?
I'd love to see a Cincinnati win. Not because anything against Kansas City. I just think it makes for a great story.
Did you hear what Andy Reid told Pat Mahomes walking out there with 13 seconds left?
No.
Situation is grim. Go be the Grim Reaper.
Oh my goodness. Now we're going to see a bunch of Grim Reaper costumes.
How awesome
costumes.
Is that?
that's actually very clever. Very clever.
Andy Reid, underrated all-time coach?
Yeah. I think he got a bad rep in Philly.
Because he couldn't win the NFC title game there for a while.
Yeah. Great coach.
Man, what a weekend. Remember, they are the Bengals. That's a good point. But, you know, Burrow.
Listen, I get that, but it's like, it just feels like it's different. I said that in their first playoff game. You know, they had and everyone was like, well, they can't win a playoff game. They won a game since
91, I think.
91, yep. Yeah. So.
Or 91 season.
Right. So my whole idea was like, that was then, this is now. It's a, you know, and those teams that were losing those playoff games, you know, as recently, brand new coach, I mean, it's like a brand new dang team. So. That's why I went that direction.
You gotta give me
and I'm still kind of sticking with that. I think, yeah, fine, sure, it's still the Bengals, but it's Joe Burrow, man. This dude, Chase, even Mixon's playing good. I mean, it's a brand new breed of football in Cincinnati.
They're going to have to do a lot more than they did this week.
Oh, of course.
9 sacks? That was one of the most impressive things about that win was he stood in there after getting sacked. That's a record, playoff record, 9 times.
Yeah, dude took some bruises.
You know, his stat line doesn't look great. I mean, the yardage does, 348, 28 of 37. But he didn't throw a touchdown, only threw a pick, sacked 9 times. But he still stood in there and figured out a way for them to be able to. And he and Chase, you know, there was a lot of talk last year in the draft when it was their choice. Is it Sewell? Is it Chase? Is it Sewell? Is it Chase? They clearly made the right choice. And listen, Sewell's been good.
Yeah.
But that connection that those two have dating back to their LSU days
something
that can't be replicated.
How often does that
translate
over to the NFL? You see these two guys in college and they play well together. Like, oh, well, that will naturally transfer to the pros. And it often doesn't.
A lot of times it doesn't.
I always think about that. It's like, this does. It works.
And a lot of times taking a receiver that high doesn't work either.
Yeah.
You know, think about the guys that you thought, man, these guys can't miss. And then they're just like, huh? Okay. A guy. Wish we'd have taken somebody else in that third pick.
Right.
But those two, that hadn't been the case. I mean, it's they did what they did. Now they got that piece. Then you can work on the offensive line coming up this year in the draft and moving
help
forward.
On defense.
Yeah. I mean, they're just getting going. That's the crazy thing is.
I say that and they got the turnover.
They're skipping those steps, though. You know, they're not a team like this that hadn't been in the playoffs and hadn't won a game in that long isn't supposed to be in the AFC title game. It's supposed to take, okay, we made it. Now we'll try to win a game next year. Instead, they just won two, and now they're going to play to try to go to the Super Bowl.
Process be damned. We're just going to go with this whole damn thing.
Now they skipped a bunch of steps. It's a little bit, I mean, if you want around here analogy, like the 2011 Thunder team.
Right.
That ended up in the Western Conference Finals way ahead of schedule.
Right.
Got beat by Dallas, and then, of course, the next year they were in the finals when it seemed like the schedule was, you know, they ramped the schedule up is what they did. After making the playoffs once, then making it, then you know, winning a series and losing, You know, you're supposed to take those steps, and they skipped a couple. And maybe that's what we see out of the Bengals. I mean, I'm looking forward to this week. It feels like a letdown. Even the matchups feel like a letdown.
No, for
to
some.
Me. To me, it does.
I know one Bengals fan is loving it. But,
oh, of course. I mean, if your team is playing.
If your team's playing, this is the best weekend coming up ever.
How about this? One of the two of us still has a chance to get their preseason Super Bowl pick right. And it's not you.
Who was mine?
Green Bay and Kansas City?
No, that was my changed one.
Oh, that's your changed one. What was your first one?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, well, Kansas Tampa Bay. City, yeah, so. Yeah, I had the Niners and I had Niners Chiefs.
Niners? How did you know? How did you?
Because the Niners are good.
Okay. Oh, boy.
And I probably thought that Trey Lance was going to be the quarterback instead
of
Jimmy G.
I don't
G.
think you had a lot of hope for Jimmy G being your guy.
I did pick the 49ers. That is correct. 49ers.
You know what
Chiefs.
I said coming in? I telling our guy over here, I said, oh, this is, you know what the best thing about being a Cowboys fan is from last weekend?
What?
We had no root and interest for anybody but other than a good game.
Yeah, we're wrong. That's where I'm going to disagree with you.
I didn't care who won, really. Honestly, I didn't, and I was just enjoyed. I enjoyed the games.
I wanted to go through just the punishment of getting punched in the face one more time, rooting for the Cowboys. Oh man.
Well,
Drew said it best last night. I mean, how far away does it feel like the McCarthy Dak combo is from anything we saw last night?
Absolutely.
Holy Moses.
Absolutely.
I like your angle though. Now that I think about it a little bit. I don't mind your angle of thinking about, okay, how do the Chiefs especially, how do they respond? I mean, because
after
the game was over, I mean, it felt like, okay, where's the Lombardi?
Yeah.
They need to be handed the Lombardi right now. That's the Super Bowl. It just happened.
Right.
And they still have two games to win.
Yeah. Could there be a hangover? That's the big question. Could there be a hangover?
We'll have all week to talk about.
You will.
We'll
fun
also
weekend.
Have
greatest weekend of NFL football?
100%.
Yeah.
It's the only postseason round ever where every game ended on a game-winning scoring play.
It's crazy.
Three field goals and the walk-off touchdown in overtime.
Crazy.
It's never happened. Gives us a lot to talk about.
Yep.
We hit some high school hoops, and I think Coach Maynard tomorrow, too.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.